Hey, trader. Want to get rich quick? Well, good luck with that. If, on the other hand, you actually want to learn how to trade, the place to be is www.cfrn.net. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern, for our daily devotional, and then spend the next 3 hours learning how it's done from professional traders who actually trade for a living. That's www.cfrn.net. Every trading day from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living.
You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network. Welcome to Prosperity for God's People, brought to you by ChristianTraders.com, the Internet's fastest-growing Christian investment community, created just for you, the Christian investor.
Everybody's happy.
Striving for excellence in Christian talk radio, excellence in the world financial markets, and most of all, excellence in your personal walk with God.
Broadcasting live
from the CFRN studios in beautiful downtown Phoenix, Arizona.
Good afternoon, friends. Welcome. Today is Tuesday, 8th day of March, 2011. Let's have a quick look at the numbers. The Dow up 151 points. What do they call this? Turnaround Tuesday? Yeah, that's it. S&P is up 14.5, and the comp is up 28 and change. And if I'm not mistaken, we've got Ben on the line. Ben, are you there?
Hey, how you doing, Dwayne?
What's up, buddy? We were going live, and I saw you come in there. So great! I'm glad we get a chance to chat. How you doing?
Good. I actually dialed in. I can't remember. It was either yesterday or the day before last week. And I just sometimes I feel so bad about interrupting you. I know you've told me not to worry about it, but sometimes you guys are going, and I just decide to sit and listen instead. So just kind of understand that. But
all right.
Big time energy here today in the market right now. I mean, we had a good energy to the downside, and then some major rejection off those lows. NASDAQ wasn't really joining in for a while. It actually just started to. A lot of strength in the Russell. You know, if you look at the Russell, it's up by yesterday's highs already.
It's up like 2%, right?
Yeah, maybe even over yesterday's highs. And I think that opens the door for, it looks like, Friday and Thursday of last week as well. There's some highs up there, but real close. So they're going to make a run for those. You know, but for the most part, again, though, Dwayne, one thing to keep an eye on is this balance area that we're starting to form up in this area, up off the high print, you know, call it 1340 down to about 1285, 1290, however you want to look at it. And, you know, we've seen some very high conviction trading days within this range, in this balance area, but have yet to breach the, you know, outer extremes of the balance area. So they're good fades at this point. At some point, it's mature. This balance area will become mature and it'll break out. You know, we've talked about this before, that those two different phases of development, that vertical phase and the horizontal phase, and for the most part, we're in a big horizontal phase in the S&Ps right now. One thing else to point out is that, you know, major highs, swing type highs, and you know, if we were to establish a high, for example, and start to sell off, a high in the stock indices, similar to the way that we've been seeing right now, would very rarely form appear in the form of a V-type high. You know, this with all the conviction that we've been seeing to the upside right now, don't get me wrong, if it was a news-related rejection of those levels, it could form a V-top, but for the most part, we see...
Looking for a rounding top, yeah.
yeah, more of a balance area starting to form up there. And then the other thing that we've seen in the past is when these balance areas form, they tend to be about 30 or 40 handles worth of range. And that's certainly the case in terms of what we're establishing right now. So is this a balance area establishing or forming up on the near high prints, and it's kind of the last of the, you know, of the who knows? But what I can tell you, I don't know that. If I did, I just jokingly say I wouldn't be on the phone right now, and I certainly wouldn't be standing here. But if we, what I can tell you is that if it established this balance area up on the upper extreme, it would give shorts the best lean that they've had in, I'm talking multi-year lean, you know, I mean,
right,
that they've had. And that would be to fade the upper extreme of that balance area, or to actually sell a breakout of the lower extreme, which would be a breakout of that 1285 level, 1290 level. So look for some conviction associated with that, and no pullback, say, up above like, I don't know, 1310, you know, is roughly right in the middle of those two levels, and certainly in the middle of this balance area. And 1310 was actually a big number. We violated it a couple times to the downside, to the upside, so it's losing some of its weight, but certainly it was a very pivotal type number for a while. Held the high for a little bit there a couple weeks ago, and then before that recent breakout to the upside. But that would be a level that I look at. You know, but one thing, again, is these high conviction days. I mean, today is basically a reverse of yesterday for the most part, you know. And so, again, these trend-type days within a balance area. It's really interesting, really, really interesting. But all these major markets are moving, Dwayne, across the board. I know you guys are looking at it. It's crude up above 105 or hanging out right around 105. We're talking about the dollar, you know, coming off the multi-year lows, you know, with that euro currency running up to 140. And so there's some major activity right now, needless to say. You know, it's really nice, too, because we were going through these, you know, that slow grind higher. It's just brutal for the trading floor and all of the guys down here. You know what I mean? And you guys as well. Don't get me wrong. You know, it just, you need to have a little bit of fear in the market. And I think we have that right now. I haven't seen where the VIX is trading today. It's probably a little bit lower. But it was up above 20 yesterday, and that's all we're looking for. You know, what's going to hurt us is those 15s and 14s. That's a no man's land, basically. But as long as we can hold this up above 20, there's sellers around. You know what I mean? And it's not a no-brainer buy, you know, eyes closed, go on vacation, sit on the beach and make money. You know what I mean? So if there's sellers around, that's not the case. And that seems
the VIX
to be
is at 1930 right now.
Yeah, so right around that 20 level, you know what I mean? And up above 20, you know, there's definitely a battle going on here. So, you know, and that's apparent in this balance area that we've established. So I'm looking right now, hey, Phil, I got to be honest, I'm still in this bull camp for the most part. I think that until we start to, you know, you've heard me say this before, until we start to break out or reach some of these values, areas of value that we've established on the way up, I'm still definitely giving the benefit of the doubt to the bulls, and that's the case right now, you know, for the most part. I think you got to be buying those dips down at the lower extreme of that balance area, and if it breaks out to the downside, you know, you've got very little risk. And there's some good upside potential. I'm talking about long-term trade, you know, long-term long-type potential. If you can buy at the lower extreme of this balance area, I'm talking around, you know, 1,300 roughly, and we get a, and you can hold and we get a breakout to the upside, it's going to be nice.
Yeah,
you know,
so
it'll,
what do you think spurred this action today, this move to the upside?
You know, I think that I'm not really sure, actually. I'm not really sure. I can tell you... I don't really know, Dwayne, because again, I think it's just some sort of it's responsive type activity that's just been building steam basically throughout the day. You know, all the major markets across the board right now. I've got gold, which is trading mid range. I've got that crude, which is trading off the high print. It's still, you know, fairly well sustained trade up above 105. That, for the most part, would think that that would be weighing on the market, but isn't. And we're also seeing some dollar strength, which you would think would be weighing on the market, but isn't. You know, so maybe we're starting to see a little bit of a shift here in that, you know, dollar S&P type trade that we were seeing. But again, I don't really have a reason for the rally. I just see the strength in it and have not faded it. You know, I knew a couple guys that were actually fading it. and I thought about joining in with them. They faded up around, they were selling 17s and risking 20s, roughly. They were selling that that vertical conviction that spread out the two balance areas from yesterday. When we breached that level, I think it was around 1320. There was some good energy to the downside, so about 1317, 1316. That was that initial sell-off yesterday, which was actually the breach of the initial balance period, as I remember. And then there was continuation of that, and we formed a balance lower. So it was a double distribution day yesterday, which is almost as high conviction as trend day. It's like second in line to that trend day conviction. But I don't know, Dwayne. Again, I don't really have a good answer for you.
Okay.
I wish I didn't. I'm not just going to make something up. You know what I mean?
No, I just thought you might have heard something there.
No, nothing at
because
all.
We had no news reports out this morning.
None at all. That's right. I mean, just that ICSC Goldman Sachs sales, which came in pretty good. Redbook came in decent, I think. No major disappointment there. But we were not showing, you know, bid activity right on that opening bell. If anything, we were showing, you know, we tested that low in the Globex low. I think that was 1308. We traded down as far as I remember. Our low of the day right now is 1306.20. And it was rejected from those levels and just basically, you know, kind of built some momentum on the way up. But you know, unless you want me to make something up, I'm just going to kind of leave it at that. And I'm not feeling very creative, so it probably wouldn't be that interesting anyways if I could make it up. I'm just kind of stating the facts right now, if you know what I mean. But I can't believe I remembered some of those levels I was just talking about, like the fact that we had that 08 low and it tested that 620 low and rejection. So I might have given you all I got, guys, for this morning. But
well, that's good. No, we appreciate it.
Good. Dwayne,
so what's the energy on the floor? Are traders upbeat, Ben, or are they cautious? The guys on the floor.
A lot of energy on the floor. On today, short-term, a lot of energy. Long-term, very cautious. Slow grind higher. It creates all kinds of doubt in our minds down here. It's the weirdest thing. It gives you more time than you need to think about how things are going, and you tend to kind of overanalyze and not live in the moment, if you will. High energy type trade, you kind of just live in the moment and everything's fine. You know what I mean? You go home, you had high energy activity. Everybody loves the high energy trade. So, but this is good, Dwayne. You know, I'm into it. I'll take this. You know, we've been seeing some good volume coming through, and you know, pit population hanging in there fairly well today, all the way through to this lunch hour. So we're seeing it. You know, we're not at levels we were 8 years ago by far, but we're certainly not at levels we were 3 months ago either. You know what I mean?
All right, Ben.
So let me run, Dwayne. Okay?
All right, buddy.
We're gonna get cut off. Yeah.
Take care.
You guys have a great one.
All right.
I'll talk to you later.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Mr. Ben Lichtenstein from TradersAudio.com. If you've never taken a free trial, give it a shot. TradersAudio.com. You can hear Ben squawk in the market. And he's got a new service, which we haven't streamed on the show, but we'll do that. Maybe we'll try to do that later this week. And you can see Ben some mornings on CNBC, for those of you who watch CNBC. He's there. So, all right, let's have a look at the market. Let's see where we're at. From our perspective, Michael, if you're there, you'll have to type something in. So Michael lost his internet this morning. He was in search of a Wi-Fi hotspot the last time I heard from him. David additionally had some issues, but I believe he's back up and running now because he's logged in. And so we're probably just going to go straight to him here in a minute because Michael's not here. Mike Reed will be back tomorrow. Bert, anything you'd like to pipe in with?
You know, to add to what Ben said, I think it's crude. I think crude is actually amplifying this move. It is down $1, and gasoline is down 5 cents. So if you see the action that when we were in the training room, you know, crude was near its high, the stocks were down, and then it came off, and then the S&P started running. So I actually think gasoline and the crude is having something to do with it. And that's why the metals are coming down, because it is tagging along with the crude. Keep an eye on the financials. I know Bank of America, I think, came out with some profit, exceeding profits, or something came out of Bank of America. So you look at an ETF called XLF, which is a broad range of financials. You can see it's up 2%. That's probably why the Dow is up 150. So I think those are what I think people should look at the crude oil market, because it is one of the major drivers right now of what's going on. And on a daily basis, like Ben was saying, we are coiled up. It means we're trading sideways, basically between 1300 and 1334.
Yeah,
and
34.
And it's pretty vicious, the movement. So that's
but you know, nice swings intraday. So
yeah. And that's actually the better trade to be in.
Yeah.
Be a day trader now, because you know you kind of reset everything coming into the day, and you just kind of go with the flow. If you were short yesterday, you're taking it in the shorts right now. If you were long, you know, you took it in the shorts yesterday. So the trade is to be a day trader until something changes.
If we go back to here's February 23rd, where we're tagging 1300 on the downside. And then we work our way up to 1335 up here on March 1st. And then from that high, boy, we don't waste any time coming right back down to 1300, same day. Then we turn right around off that 1300 low, and it takes 2 days to push back to that 1333 area, 34. And then we are just kind of drifting here in between those two areas for the last since Friday. You know, we hit it on the upside Friday. We didn't quite make it down yesterday or today. Now, we talked about this yesterday. On Friday afternoon, we came down. We printed dynamic support. The market ran higher into Monday morning. We printed dynamic resistance up here at this 1326 and a quarter. We then sold off, and when we closed out the show yesterday, I had typed in that we were waiting on dynamic support, which printed here. Now it printed down at 13. Let me get a number here. $1,305.75, is that right? No. No, I printed at $1,304. Okay. Just want to get that number right. Printed at $1,304. And this opened at $1,307.25, but then it drew down to a low of the low was $1,304.25. That was 1304 and a quarter. This is 1304. That's not right. The low is 1306. I'll get it right in a minute. Yeah. 1306 right here. Okay. So, there was a couple points here. See, on Friday we got the pullback. On Monday we got the pullback. But you don't always get that. Sometimes this little bit of area, couple points, will go unsatisfied. Now, when we posted to the blog last night, when I hit send, it was 11:11 p.m. Central Standard Time. We printed a new candle. This is an hourly chart. We printed it, and I had typed in. If you go look at the chart that's on the blog, it says waiting for dynamic resistance to print. So I hit send, and then 19 minutes later, we printed the dynamic resistance that we were waiting on. So I'm still waiting for Michael to finish writing that app that will send me a text message when that happens, because I would have potentially come back to my desk, but I didn't. I went to bed. So it printed here, and then you can see here we hit resistance, but there was if you entered right here at 1315 and a quarter, then you had a drawdown of some, if we can get it to tell us what the high was on that candle. There we go, the high, 1318. So from 15 and a quarter to 1318, almost 3-point drawdown. But then the flip side is, from 1315 it dropped almost 10 points. What was the low on this one? Right at the open today. Come on. You almost got to coax these tool tips out of this thing. Come on. What's the low today, Bert? You got that handy? There we go. Now it's 1306. All right. So from 1315 and a quarter to 1306. So, yeah, call it 9 points. 9 point drop. So you had a 3 point drawdown that turned into a 9 point potential profit. Now, this is an hourly chart. It's difficult for anybody, well, I don't know about anybody, for me, to commit to and trade off of an hourly chart. It's something I'm watching more and more because the possibilities and the probabilities are really quite good. But I learned to trade E-mini futures intraday in a itty-bitty, teeny-weeny time frame. And so this is a real exercise for me, learning to look at larger time frames, not only around the clock, but in particular inside of a daily session. But I really like what I see, and I really like the support or the assistance that we get from the dynamic resistance and support. Even when it fails, if you can call it that, dynamic resistance. We were waiting for this to print over here. Hit support here, back on March 2nd. Okay, that held like a champ, support. And then we finally print the resistance, and what does it do? It trades through it, comes back, becomes support, and away it goes. Now, once it trades through support like that on what I guess you would call a failed move, although it certainly was a trade opportunity, once it got above it and confirmed that and continued to move, it's now got to print support, which is what we saw on Friday. And that's what we were talking about, the trade Friday into Monday. And then Monday morning into Monday afternoon, last night, this morning. Now this afternoon, we're back to looking for dynamic resistance. We've got support here, resistance here. Now, here's an example of where it would be very difficult to take action based purely on the hourly chart. These are all good examples of where you could, where it was really quite actionable, even on the hourly time frame. But look at this. We printed this at 1305.75, but the low here was 1315. The open of this candle was, come on, you can tell me, 1315 and a quarter, is that right? 1317.75 was the open. Okay, the low was down at 15 and a quarter, but the open. So from 1317, even at 15 and a quarter, am I going to risk all the way back to 575? No, that's a trade that I'm just probably not going to participate in, not based on that. Okay, if I'm not going to get in up here and risk way back to here with a stop to potentially just go to here, which has been, we just talked about, the high now for days, that area. Okay. Now, if we pull back down here and test this and hold, yeah, or are there other ways to get into a long trade up in this area? Yeah. I'm just saying this is, because I'm pointing out examples of where you could actually take a trade off the hourly chart if you were, you know, of a, such a mind to do that. But I also want to fairly point out a place where I'm not going to risk that much to get into that trade for that much upside potential. That's just not me. All right, I beat that to death. Now, let me show you this. Mike Reed brought up the 1314 yesterday. He had said that if price rallied up to 1314, he would look to sell that. And I said, hey, Mike, wasn't that the Globex low Sunday night? And he goes, yep, it sure was. And he said, anything I do, you can see it right on the chart. So I want you guys to see this because he pointed it out, and it's really relevant. Okay. Sunday night Globex low, 1314, it runs higher. We come down through it. We just slice through it like a knife through butter. But then on the bounce, look where we stop. Right there, 13.14. And then from that 13.14, we drop to a low of 13.08. So that's a six point drop right there. Okay? If you can grab a couple points out of a 6 point drop, that's pretty good. You can make a living doing that, so they say. And then last night, here we were, right back at that 13.14 when I put that chart on the blog. We were sitting right here. This candle hadn't opened up yet. And then when it opened, resistance, trade with a drawdown, then this. Now, we did get long this morning on the YM in the live trading room. We did have a nice trade on the upside, and it continued to go once we exited it. And we had a second trade that we took. I took a stop. Plus, we were plus one tick. We were very aggressive on that trade. We got into it. We immediately reduced our risk, and then we moved our stop up to break even plus one tick, and then we got stopped out on that second trade. So we had a very nice 20-point trade on the YM, and we got stopped out, and that was it. And the market just kept moving higher, and we were running into some turbulence over here where we thought, you know, first we had this area on the YM, okay, we backed on. Hit it again, hit it a third time, and a question came up. Hey, you hit resistance three times, what does that mean? And my answer was, well, there's a group of people that will argue that every time you hit it, the stronger it gets. And there's another group that will argue every time you hit it, it's like chipping away, you know, at a stone, it gets weaker. So you hit it once, twice, three times, and then the fourth time, it sailed right through not only that high, but it sailed right through the weekly trading zone. And if you'll notice here, it did it. I mean, once you broke the top of this weekly zone, there was no pullback entry. I mean, that thing, just all you could do is just sit and watch it go. I mean, you could dive in and hope it keeps going. In fact, we looked at this right at the very end of the live training class as a potential for a reversal back down into here. And this thing had so much momentum, it pulled back only to here. It's 12,200. Which those of you who've been in the training room, the YM, you know that 12,200 has been an important number on a couple of occasions. And then we ran. Look at that run. That's a 24-point run. No, I'm sorry. A 40-point run. From 12,200 to 12,240. 40 points. Double our daily goal. Now we have the eye of the duck. All right. Enough of that. We'll go to David. Bert, anything else you want to add before we go to David?
No. I think you summed it up pretty well, Dwayne.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, off to our studios in beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada.
Good morning, Dwayne.
Good morning, David. When I trimmed that last night, you know, that last little bit that plays, it was either clip that at 15 seconds or get this last little bit in here, which really, it just kind of spoke of you, so I left it in. Hang on, right here. Right here.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, all right. So good morning, how are you?
Good morning. I'm fine. And how are you? And Bert, are you there?
I am. What's going on, David?
Good. I'm fine. We had a few technical problems this morning with our provider. We do everything we can, of course. We have, what is it called, direct fiber connection, which we're in an industrial section of a park here, and they had to tunnel, you know, this fiber under the concrete, the parking lot, for about an eighth of a mile in order to get us, you know, to be able to have this direct connection. That wasn't our problem. The problem was that the carrier for our fiber which is Cox Communications, they somehow lost our what's called the configuration in their router. So somehow the configuration got corrupted in their router, and so nobody could get to us and we couldn't get out. So it took a couple hours for everybody to figure out that's what happened. And so that happens, you know, it's once in a while, once in a great while you have that kind of a technical problem. But thankfully we were able to fix it and get back online. Here we are. That's how James West handles a problem, by the way. You know, he gets it done. So it was just their fault, and they took care of it. So,
cool,
we've had our own issues, but what's that?
Cool hand MOOC.
That's right. Okay, let's, if you don't mind, Dwayne, I'm going to get right into it here. Let's take a quick look. We had talked yesterday, and I gave the listeners a trade in the Euro, which Bert also has. I don't know if Bert had a chance to take this trade or not.
Yeah, you know what happened? I missed it by
this much.
2 ticks last night.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we were trying to sell them 39.90s, but we tried,
yeah.
And the bottom line is it did go down. So.
Yeah, we were calling for March 7th to mark the top because we had called for the advance from February 28th, the low on February 28th, to go up until they reached 140.01, and they reached 140.35. They spiked through that, and they did that on March 7th. We were calling for that to be a top, and then you could short that anywhere in there for a decline into March 9th, basically, is the decline would normally go down into March 9th. And go down at least 125 ticks off that high. That would take you from 140.35 down to 139.91. I think I don't have my. I always get spun by the numbers on that. Let's see, 140.35.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's 139.10. And so you wouldn't catch all of that. You know, you might catch 80 of those ticks, but that's a nice trade.
Sure.
That was a nice trade for $1,000 on the downside. So for those of you who are in that, we would look for the market to roughly tomorrow is really more or less the on-time day, plus or minus a day, for the bottom in this market. And there's the possibility of a larger decline. We are in an uptrend here, but I was telling Bert this morning in the private message that, and I in the original forecast, that once you book some gains at the original target of 125 ticks off the high, that you should hold any remaining position for possibly doubling that on the downside. In other words, that would make for $2.50 total. So for anybody who is still short in that market, any positions at all, you might want to just sit with that into tomorrow. But if we did close today, you know, above the 139.10, you know, real initial target down there, that's probably the stronger position. It doesn't absolutely preclude them from going lower, but that's what the remaining position would be for aggressive, for people who hold it for aggressive.
We're at 39.08 right now.
Yeah, so that's right below that 139.10.
And we've got a weekly zone at 05.010, and then we got a zone below us at 835, 840.
Okay.
I get tripped up by those numbers too.
Yeah, the numbers throw me a little bit.
And then this thing got rolling at midnight off of, we had this zone right here, 980, 975, 980.
Yeah.
Now your entry was, you were up, where was your entry at? It was up 1.4 something?
Well, you're talking about here. For me personally or for
for what you had given out. You mentioned a number just a minute ago.
Anything 140.01 and lower was selling territory.
Gotcha.
Because they completed that target, and then yesterday also closed however you want to say it, in the weaker position below 140.01.
Gotcha.
Just about anywhere you could sell it. For me personally, this was sell the silly thing, because they were done. I mean, it was a lot of things came together at that level. So this was a particularly easy, at least from my viewpoint, it was an easy entry, and it really caused no real grief. That's another thing about this market. There wasn't
a lot
of
grief.
Well,
I'll tell you what, you keep bringing those easy trades to this radio program, and we'll be friends forever.
Oh, well, that's nice. Well, yeah, I can't promise they'll always be easy. That's very nice of you. But this one was, as was, by the way, the advance off of. They did do a little tricky sachet back because we were originally looking for the February 25th date to call a top, and they had to close below 138.05. And they did that for 4 days in a row. And then just as you were discussing a few minutes ago, that was resistance, and they finally broke through that. And that was an easy, again, I had to buy that easy one. That one wasn't easy in the first place because I actually was short. I took about a 38 tick loss on that and then went long and had a very, very nice trade on the upside.
How do you spell
sachet? I'm sorry?
Sachet,
S-A-S-H-A-Y.
Okay, there we go.
So,
all right.
There you go. So anyway, so you know, we had a nice trade on the upside, and we made back that loss because that one was tricky, and you have to pay for tricky. But then if you go long, you know, my original intention was just to pay off that debt, but it ended up going a little bit further, and I made some money on it. And then this trade was easy. This trade had no issue with it at all. It was just an easy decline. That's why it may not go further, a whole lot further than this, but as a trade to target, the 139.10 was very easy to be in for that number. So that worked out well. And this is further confirmation that, for me anyway, that we may have the numbers right on the March Euro is with regard to spatial relationship stuff. And what's going to be interesting to see, and I haven't had the time, but I would really like to spend some time with the currencies and see how each currency plays out to see if this same configuration that we use on this market works on other currencies as well, or do they break down in some way, you know, I don't know. And then let's real quick switch over to soybeans because I think this is the really big setup that we've talked about over the last couple of days. On the weekend report, we forecast on Sunday that the market, which at that point was going up, would reverse and go down into March 8th. Today is March 8th. Yesterday we went long on soybeans, got an initial gain because we were potentially going to try to trade a one-day early bottom. It turned out that to be not the case. We got stopped out at roughly a break-even. Today has moved lower. Today is the on-time day for a bottom. So I would like everybody to look at soybeans and watch. You know, we're in the on-time day. We want to take a look and wait for any kind of buy signal that the market gives us here. And again, that includes using any of the indicators either from Duane and Michael or having Bert as an example. You can hold the applause until I say something applause-worthy.
Yeah,
but
you
I appreciate
did.
What was that?
That they could use our indicators.
Oh, they use your indicators. Yeah. There you are. You could use, let me try that again. You can use any indicator you want. You could use, as an example, Dwayne and Mike's indicators.
If nothing
you'll
else, we have beautiful comedy timing.
That, yeah. Yeah, you'll notice that there's no applause for my indicators or Bert's indicators, but there certainly is applause for Dwayne and Mike's indicators. You can use... this is just silliness, you know.
I'm spitting
I
the coffee all over
silly.
My desk here. That's not good.
Okay. Anyway, so we want to keep our eye on this because this is a very powerful setup for a reversal in soybeans, as we talked about in our report. And so, you know, can we go further into March 9th? Yes, it's possible, but we want to start really focusing in on this market to buy for a reversal based on any type of setup that you particularly like. And I don't mind being a little bit more aggressive. You know, this is just personally for me. I don't, you know, really, I'm very risk averse personally. I don't like to throw money around in the markets. But at the same time, I want to take a shot when I think the probabilities have increased. Very much like a poker player, and I don't like to make gambling analogies, but not poker, but blackjack. When they've been counting cards and they know there's only X number of cards left in the deck, and the odds are very good that the deck, because they've been counting, contains X number of cards, et cetera, and they can place a better bet because the probabilities are higher. Well, as we get into the on-time day and the one day late, those probabilities are going up that any buy signal is going to be the buy signal. And so, you know, you start from the one day early, and it may or may not work. Sometimes it works beautifully. Yesterday, we took a long position, and we got stopped out roughly at a break even on the overnight. Today, if I take a long position, the odds are more in our favor now. And then, of course, if it went to the one day late, then it becomes rampant. Just very much like if you want to see what a one day late reversal looks like, look at the reflected wave bottom that we called on February 23rd on the daily chart for the S&P. It went one day late and then had this remarkable reversal. That's the kind of thing that happens as you stretch the cycle out, and then you get a very, very snap, quite often a snapback reversal like that. And you can believe that the February 24th date probably only gave one or two outright buy signals that you could have had an opportunity to be in, and then it was over. The move was underway. You know, they gapped up the next morning, and you had to be in that. But this is what I love about markets. I mean, this is just, it's a fabulous thing that we know what the game is. We can look at it. We can plan our strategy. We can manage our risk. We can do all these things. And at the end of the month, you could look at your statement and realize, wow, I successfully navigated through the unknown portions to take advantage of the known portion. And that's what the whole thing is. You're navigating the unknown and taking advantage of the known. The known meaning we know it's going to go up X number of cents, or whatever our forecast happens to be, or your forecast happens to be, for whatever technique you're using. So
hey, David,
that's the pleasure. Yes, go ahead.
I got distracted for a moment, and there was a question from Joe. And I think we need to, because you're already back to the ES, right?
I'm on soybeans right now.
Oh, you're still on the beans? Okay.
I was just talking about soybeans here. This setup for the March 8th bottom. Yeah.
All right, because I'm not sure when Joe asked this question, if it was on the 6E or if it was. But the question is, you say you were stopped out. Are you long again?
No, we're not. I'm not long right now in soybeans.
And he just clarified for me, it is beans he's talking about. Okay.
Yeah, right. It is beans. We're not long yet. I'm comfortable waiting a little bit longer here to see, because they're really, really quiet right now. I wouldn't mind, to be honest with you, buying around one about, I'm sorry, all these numbers are spinning in my head, $13.83. I wouldn't mind taking a stab at that level right now. They're at $13.84 because, again, the odds are leaning in my favor that these levels are going to start acting as support for this advance that we're talking about, the 36-cent advance. So I love the soybeans, and it's a great market. And like I said before, I just want to really get this idea across. One of the things I really love about markets is that you are navigating the unknown portion, which you may not, you know, there's a lot we don't know, right? We meaning collectively as traders. There's a lot we don't know. We navigate that while trying to take advantage of the known, the part that we do know. And that's the whole game is wrapped up in that, navigating the unknown, taking advantage of the known, whatever your trading style is. And so for me, I love these types of setups where on the daily chart, you know, Dwayne was talking about the hourly earlier, but the daily is very good as well because daily charts produce bigger moves, but you have to wait a few days for the cycle to complete and for, you know, for another setup to happen. But at the end of the month, when you look at your statement and you can say to yourself, wow, you know, I did the right thing here by stopping myself out. I tried twice to get into this trade and it never worked, or I tried twice to get into this one and it finally ran and I had a big gain. You see yourself acting properly, navigating the unknown and taking advantage of the known, and you literally earned that money. I mean, that's what that is. It's a beautiful thing. It has nothing to do with gambling. It has nothing to do with any of that. It's really taking advantage of what you know about the market while navigating the unknown portion of it, like what we're doing here with soybeans potentially right now. And so this is why losing money is such an important, or having a stop and protecting your position is so important, because it allows you to take multiple attempts. We're looking for a 36-cent deal. Well, a reversal, you know, we have plenty. We could get stopped out for a few cents several times, and then when we're
you
right,
you drop
a
nickel
really
here,
rough.
A nickel there. I mean,
yeah. Even you don't have to even drop that much, but right. You could easily do three trades at 3 cents each and have lost 10 cents, which is $500, and then on your fourth trade get it right and make 28 cents or something, and you've done very well. And sometimes that's a very satisfying thing. You didn't get the whole move. You had to spend some money to get the move, but that's what I'm saying. You're navigating the unknown portion of it. And sometimes, like the euro, that trade in the euro we talked about yesterday, that was easy. There was no problem with that. Sometimes the market just gives it to you. Sometimes they just walk right up to you. Here, you know, here's $2,600. Here, you can just have that. And it's, you know, they just say that to you. And then other times, you know, they're going to make you work for it. And if you do work for it, and if you do the right thing, it's massively, wonderfully satisfying to see that you got it right. You were dissuaded by managing your risk. You know, they okay, that wasn't right. Let me try over here again. And suddenly you get it right and it runs, and it's very satisfying. So that's I'm explaining, at least for me, some of the satisfaction that I have in taking advantage of what I know while navigating the parts that I don't know. So we can all do it. It's not something just specific to me. We're all doing that one way or the other with our trading. We're navigating the unknown and then taking advantage of the known. Anyway, so the soybeans is interesting. It's setting up right now. You can see kind of how these markets run together. We are forecasting the euro to go down for a couple of days, and look at soybeans. We're forecasting the soybeans to go down for a couple of days. So these markets do kind of run together. The forces that are at work behind them can be coincident on both markets. Whether those forces are from planets, whether those forces are from news, wherever those forces are from, they're measurable in the market themselves. And like I said the other day, even if the planets have the connection that people say they do to the ups and downs in the market, the fact is since they are moving the market up and down, you can find connections in that expression of the market itself. You don't necessarily have to reverse engineer the entire frickin' solar system in order to know what the market's going to do, because you can look at the market understanding that if the solar system is doing this to the market, then there it is in front of you in the market, and you can make those connections much more locally and much more connected. It is interesting, the idea, and I believe it probably is true, even though I don't have real, what people might say, scientific evidence. I do believe that holistically that there's probably a very powerful effect on either the moods of people or other things based on the solar system's configuration at a particular time. It's highly, highly complex. I mean, unless you are a person who has very, very deep thinking possibilities, you know, where you can really think something through deeply, I'd be careful getting into that subject, because it really can just burn you out, and then you'll end up being in like a rest home on wheat thins and anticoagulants trying to, you know, explain to people how you spent your whole life staring at the solar system to try to figure this stuff out, when you could be actually looking at the market itself and taking trades with the understanding that whatever forces are moving the market, they are measurable and forecastable from the market itself without necessarily having to go out to the direct cause, if that is the direct cause of market movement. Okay, so having said that...
Yeah.
There's my lecture. Did you have something to say?
Hang on, I got this. The phone. My other line. Morality and media guy.
Okay. Was that?
Yes, I know what
he said. Does that mean I continue talking, or what does that mean?
David, what we did, just so you know, is we are long the beans at 1385.
Oh, well, you're great.
Okay,
what we did is we put a little twist on it. I bought the mini bean at 1385. If it goes to 1375, I'm going to buy another one.
Okay.
And if it goes to 1365, we're going to buy another contract. And
there you go. That's good.
The reason for it is we are trying to catch a falling knife here. You did have somewhat of an hourly reversal on the beans here, so this low might stick.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone mm-hmm. keep in mind, the mini bean is $10 a penny as opposed to $50.
Bert, do you want to show that
flexibility
chart?
There. Sorry, Dwayne?
Mm-hmm. Do you want to show that chart? Or not? You don't have to. I can't bring up a bean chart. I'm at the limit of my subscription. Is there any way to increase my subscription?
It only gives you 10 charts.
Yeah.
The most you can have is 10 tabs or 10 charts.
Okay. All right.
But I was just telling everyone we got long the mini beans at 85. I have orders in at 75 and 65.
I'm long the beans at 85?
No. You're actually when David will come out. Here's my feeling. As soon as David thinks that we're at a low intraday in the soybean messenger to those subscribers, he's going to tell us to buy it anyway. So, Dwayne, you'll have some representation in there.
Okay.
But the guys that are trying to take advantage of the forecast,
mm-hmm.
aside from the intraday soybean messenger,
right.
I kind of laid out a plan to try to take advantage of it where our risk is about, right now as it sits, if we get filled on all three contracts, the risk will be about $600. Okay.
Bert, what's the mini bean symbol?
X, K, and then the month will be May, K11.
X, okay. K11?
K11, yeah.
That's
K11.
The mini beans.
Not as actively traded as the big beans, but...
Sounds like a fancy car. Sounds like something David would drive, an XK11.
Oh. That sounds like a pretty fancy ride.
The beauty of it is if David's right and if we do go into a one day late, so if we drop today or tomorrow and we could pick up maybe the 75 or 65, then maybe that'll amplify it to the upside and we'll have a couple contracts on at that point in time. So we're laying in there, we're laying in lightly with the potential for it to turn around. So it's just my reason for bringing it up, there's another contract that you can use. It's a mini contract. It's $10 a penny as opposed to $50 a penny. So that's reducing your risk. Your margin requirement is only about $950. So your margin requirement's a lot smaller. So, and you won't have that same volatility slapping you in the face. At $50 a penny, you might be a little bit nervous and might get out right away, as opposed to having the beans on, the mini ones, where you can kind of stay cool and collective. So it's just a thought that I wanted to share and people should consider. So that was my end. That was my 2 cents.
Well, that's good, Bert. I wanted to remind people as well that for those of you who maybe can't be in front of the screen all day long because of work or whatever situation, Bert can trade these forecasts for you. We don't have a product actually out for, you know, the euro and for gold and some of these other things that we're forecasting in right now, but he will trade those on your behalf as long as you have any subscription to us. Even if you have a $99 a month soybean subscription, you can still ask him to take those trades, and he'll put, you know, if he's trading on your behalf, he can put you in those trades. Is that not correct, Bert? I mean, as far as we're concerned.
No, that's fine. You know, it's not a product, so it's not sort of the automatic letter of direction, but if, you know,
right.
We come out with a forecast, like a lot of the guys we have a conversation about it. I lay out a game plan, and people will give me the thumbs up or the thumbs down.
Right.
But a lot of people want to be, even though they're away from the screen, at least a lot of the folks like to be part of that decision-making process.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they want to be involved in, all right, put me in, or, hey, let me hold off. Let me see if David's right this time. Or, or it might not groove with their work, so they might say, hey, just pass it off, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a conversation built in it. It's just not saying, here, Bert, here's $10,000. Go for it. Take David's stuff and run with it and call me later. There's some
interaction.
Well,
that's what I would do if I was trading.
There's a very good
if I was trading David's trade.
As long as,
I would just,
look. I think a lot of the stuff that we have seen from David has produced. So it's just a matter of trying to get in there, and you're not going to hit all of them. Like the euro, we missed that by 2 ticks last night.
Right. No, I know.
I could have sold it at the market, but I was trying to justify risk versus reward and trying the frame up. So we won't hit them all, but hopefully, like the gold, like the euro, like the crude, like the many soybean trades.
Right.
We'll get them. We'll get a few of these.
Yeah. Well, so, no, that's good. And I was going to say.
Okay.
Can you hear me, Bert or Dwayne?
Carry on.
I can hear you. That's
can
the ABTM trade. Just give Bert the money.
Yeah, that's right.
Dwayne, are you able to hear me?
Yes, David, I can.
Oh, okay.
I can.
Okay, very good. I was just going to say that if I was having you trade, if you were going to trade David's trades, I would just give you the 10,000, and you. I mean, that's how I would. I'd say, Bert, listen, the guy's good. Go just, you know, whatever he says, just go buy and sell, just put the trade on.
So, all right.
Now, anyway,
that's all I have to say.
Okay, real quick, let's go over to the S&P, and thank you, Bert.
Did we lose audio?
I don't think Bert can hear us, Dwayne.
Bert?
I think I got cut off here.
No, Bert, we can hear you. Here, let me send him a text message and let him know that we can hear him.
All right, can you hear me now?
We can.
We can hear you.
I'm signing it. We can hear you.
Okay.
Yeah, we hear you. He doesn't hear us for some reason. Maybe his volume is down on his headset.
Could be.
And he sounds really good.
I'll hit mute and listen to you guys.
You know what? You know what, Bert? Hit mute and then unhit mute. Sometimes that'll... like kind of like blowing your nose. It just cleans up. Didn't work.
Okay, well, there you are.
Okay, what I'll do is hang on, I'll mute him and then bring him back. I'll fix him. Okay, now he's muted. He's on. Can you hear me now, Bert?
I can hear you, Dwayne.
Okay.
I muted you and unmuted you, so put that in the training.
Bert has... Bert has a really good sound. He has a really good headset. Bert, what kind of headset are you using?
It is Daniel's Trading issued Plantronics.
Okay, there you are. And Dwayne, what are you using? Because you sound pretty good too now.
Could you say that again, please?
What are you using? What's your headset?
And then the other part?
What are you using now?
But after that, you said something.
Oh, it sounds pretty good.
Nine headsets later.
Yeah, really.
It's like a $19 General Electric, you know, headsets, guys, less is more, it appears.
Yeah,
I got an
$80
one over here. David laughed at me with my $80 Creative Fatality endorsed gaming headset. I put a $19 GE on it. He goes like, you sound pretty good.
Yeah, no, you sound great. You do. You sound really good. Okay, let's move over to the ES. Now, today, since we weren't on, we didn't get a chance to do this. The market had declined early today to 1306, which is an important support level in our panel, and it's touched the highest level that we expected in today's session, which is 1326/27. They did reach 26 or 2575. Under normal conditions, and today's market could be a trend day up, but under normal conditions, they would, if they fail at that 26, they'll go down and they'll test the 20 level here. Now, you know, yesterday we had a little bit of a roadmap that I laid out earlier to the listeners, or as Bill O'Reilly says, to the folks. And for those of you who listen to Bill O'Reilly. Anyway, that the market would, we had a roadmap for a minimum of a 6-point advance off the session lows, and then the possibility of doubling that. And that doubling would take us exactly up to what you talked about earlier, the 13-14 level, because yesterday's low was 1302.75.
Well, Sunday night there was a Globex low, David, at 1314.
Right, no, I heard that. I heard that earlier, and you were talking about that earlier, and that's what I'm referring to, is that that's a great example of two separate indications, not related. Mike Reed looking at a particular chart configuration from Globex, us forecasting that, you know, an initial move up from 1302.75 of 6 and then a reaction and then potential for doubling that. They did do that yesterday. Now, I'm just moving forward from there.
Okay.
In today's session, under normal conditions now, we would decline back down and test the 1320 level here. And so there's a trade potentially for that. However, you know, this isn't a huge, it's no big deal. It's a small move on the downside. But I do want to say this for the remainder of today's session. If we do go down and test or attempt the 1320 level in the current hour or the next hour, which is the fifth hour on today, and they give you any buy signal from there, I'd buy that. Because that's a very important place for today, time-wise. If they don't do that, if we were to break out and go up, then you'd have to be a subscriber because we'll give you the forecast at that point. I don't want to give out a confusing bunch of stuff for people. It's very easy to do that, you know, when you're doing this all verbally. So the best thing is that, you know, under normal conditions, we'd have a reversal and a test or attempt at 1320. And at that point, especially in the fifth hour today, we probably will have a roadmap set up here for another reversal off of that to substantially higher prices. So we'll see if they are able to do that a little bit later. We haven't, this is, you know, yesterday when I brought the yesterday's roadmap up, we had not yet even given that to subscribers. So,
now, is that an official BTST at 1320?
It will be. No. Okay. I wanted to see them act appropriately around that area. We could go lower than that to 1317 or so and test that area. But really, all I really want people to do more or less is, if we do go down, the initial confirmation is normally we would go down and test 1320 in today's fifth hour. We're in the fourth hour now, and we have about 22 minutes left. If we do go down and do that, even if it goes below that, then I'm going to be looking to buy that for a nice move up, a very definitely tradable move up. And we'll for subscribers, we'll have all of the information of how many points, et cetera, that it'll be going. But at least this is a good thing for people to watch. And this is why I Love the Markets by David Williams, because these things happen. These things set up repeatedly, and they give you these opportunities, again, to manage, to navigate through this, the part that you don't know, the unknown, and to take advantage of the part that you do know. And so we all know, really, if we're honest, we all know very little about what markets are doing. No matter what you know very little, because it's such a big subject and it goes on and on and on. But part of the beauty of it being such a big subject is it means that it's got lots of little niches in there for you to find out about. When people go, oh, that's a big, really big subject, like astrology, yes, it's a huge subject, but you could therefore know that there's a lot of little nooks and crannies, because it is a big subject, that you could become semi-expert at that little nook and cranny, that little part of the river that you understand. That's essentially how that's how I roll, you know. I've become an expert at little things that I do know about, and I, you know, will spend some time burning myself trying to find the new things. You know, that's if you're research-oriented and want to continue studying and all that stuff, you look at it, and I do enjoy that, but it does become a burn after a while. I mean, it's very hard on your head to go down a number of blind alleys, and to go back and double-check and triple this and that and the other. It's hard to find the good stuff. It is. And once in a while, you just get lucky, and you run into something, and that's what happened with the roadmaps back in 2010. I was not even looking in 2010, but because I had been looking for many, many years, and I knew I was tuned in, so to speak, in March of 2010 is when we discovered the roadmap principle, and it just fell on my lap. I mean, it was very, very easy. That sometimes happens. And just like a trade, sometimes they just, like the Euro trade, they just give it to you. And then sometimes you have to work real hard to get it. So
otherwise, the really good stuff requires a passport and a yellow fever shot.
Yeah, that's right. And what the really good stuff that Dwayne is talking about isn't in the market, if you know what I mean.
Depends on what market you're in. No, I'm just kidding. Everybody knows that's all way in the past, but...
Oh, I know. But you know, I think there's a quality that people like about knowing that you used to just sit around.
Yes, silly degenerate.
Just being a silly degenerate with that stuff, the good stuff, and I think people respect you for that, Dwayne, in a strange kind of way, that you went down that path and somehow clawed your way back out of that path.
I have stared into the abyss, and I object. So.
Well, that's good. I know it's a sensitive subject, and that's why I love bringing it up as often as I can on your program.
I brought
anyway.
It up today. So.
Anyway, so let's see. So that's basically for the S&P. That's important for today. And then tomorrow is big in the S&P as well. We have some big things lining up for tomorrow as well.
Yeah,
so there's definitely some money to be made.
Mark writes in, any daily turns coming up for the S&P?
I'm sorry, what was that question?
I said, Mark writes in.
Oh, Mark writes in. Okay.
Any daily turns coming up for the S&P?
Well, let's take a quick look. We don't have anything in our Turning Point calendar right now. Let me just take a quick look. I think I mentioned yesterday that, and if this maybe Mark wasn't around for that perhaps, but we do have a very important March 10th date. This is specifically for the S&P for a very large, you know, 30-point fast move to begin on that day. That day will act as a reversal day. And so we're going to be trading into that one as well. So you want to keep an eye open for that. Today is March 8th, so tomorrow will act as the one day early for that. And so all of this consolidation that you're looking at here that people have been talking about is going to end on March 10th.
Hmm.
Ain't no two gosh darn ways about it.
Interesting.
So
okay. And today's the 8th.
Today is the 8th.
Now the 10th. One day early, one day late?
That's right.
Okay.
It's the 10th plus or minus a day.
Okay.
And so we will want to trade that. And this is another one of those times where you want to know that the S&P is going to be tricky, but you still want to try to buy into or sell into whatever configuration they're showing you. And you may have to take a couple of attempts to be in the trade, but then you want to hold on for an explosive move. Okay, and explosive is the operative word.
Joe asked, do you know if the reversal will be up or down?
Well, you know, I can't give it all out on the show for free now, can I?
Okay, Joe, there's your answer, buddy.
No, I've given out quite a bit today, and I don't think in these terms like, oh, I'm giving out too much or too little.
No,
but,
we really appreciate it. No, you've been very forthcoming, and we... You know.
Yeah, I like to give the stuff out. I want people to make some money. Seriously, I want you guys, I want everybody out there to be able to make some money. Dwayne does as well. You don't necessarily have to buy anybody's product on this program in order to make some money. You know, you can, you know, Dwayne sets up trades or talks about trades that they're thinking about doing, or you know, he has his trading room. I'm not exactly sure what his program is, but basically we give out trades. You know, Mike Reed comes on and tells levels that he thinks are going to be important, that what he might do. I come on and give these forecasts. I enjoy doing this. I want you to make some money. I want you to learn to trade your behind off, you know, or if you don't trade your behind off, I want you to learn to trade so you can see for yourself that it's doable if you have good information, whether that information is your own or somebody else's. And if it isn't your own, don't lament that fact. You know, in the forest, there's only X number of trees are ripe, you know, at one time, and then the other trees are growing, and they'll get there at some point.
We gave away the milk for free for so long that the cows began to develop low self-esteem.
Right.
So now we can only give out the occasional free sample. But
that is correct. And I would enjoy knowing that if we give out a forecast that somebody takes advantage of it and actually makes some money from it, that would tickle me pink. That really would. So that's why we're doing it, and you know, that's what the purpose of these is to show you that it really can be done. And remember, it took me many, many, many years. I you know, I don't know what the average length of the person time-wise has been in studying the market, but I didn't make any really big breakthroughs until after my fifth year. Then I waited another 3 years for another breakthrough. And then I probably had a dry spell of about 6 years. And, you know, on and on and on. And I've been doing it now for about 21 years. So it takes time.
Somebody was just incredibly encouraged by that.
Good.
I believe that. I really do. That some, you know, somebody's like, oh,
yeah.
Wow. Really?
Yeah. It really does take time. It's like learning a new language. It's like... you know, it's just like learning anything new, but the markets have a peculiar thing about them that it's more difficult to grasp a hold of what they're all about. And honestly, not everybody can probably grasp a hold. Some people can grasp a certain thing but may not be able to grasp another. That's a better way of putting it. I think everybody can grasp something about it. But it took many, many years for me, and I feel like I accidentally, to be honest with everyone, I feel like I accidentally stumbled many times into things. I certainly didn't figure them out in advance and then find out that my figurings were correct. What I did is I stumbled around, and I was very, I'm a persistent stumbler.
Very good. Well said. At least you were in the act of stumbling.
Yeah, I was in the act of stumbling. And then if when I stumbled I found something interesting, I would take the time to look at that and think about it and put it in the back of my head and et cetera. And so it took a lot of stumbling. It's like some people have a PhD. I have a persistent stumbler in market. You know, I don't know what the third letter would be. But my stepfather had a PhD.
Persistent stumbling degree.
What's that?
A PSD, a persistent stumbling degree.
Yeah, that's what I have, is a PSD. So I'm a persistent stumbler. And you do that. You just run around. So don't feel bad. If you've been in this for 2 or 3 years and you haven't quite put it all together yet, trust me, it takes time. I mean, it really does. It takes some time to put this together. And yet, you probably know more than you realize. You're probably actually better if somebody were to give you a set of conditions to trade under. You're probably better than you actually think you are. Very much like I've explained before about how when I trade for Marta, who's the mother of my daughter, I love the woman and I would never want to lose her money, and she kept begging me, thinking that I was doing very well in the markets, because back in those days when she would ask me how I'm doing, oh, every trade's a winning trade, I'm doing great, oh, fantastic, oh yeah, a great day, you know, all the things that people do when they're in the markets. They never talk about the losses, they never talk about what went wrong, and et cetera, et cetera. And she believed in me, and she forced me over time to finally take money from her to trade for her. But deep down, I knew that was not that was the last thing I was going to do, because I love her, A, and B, I don't want to hurt her. I don't want to have her subject to my own, idiocy in the markets, which what I was doing with my own money. But when I did finally put trades on for her, it was under sets of conditions that I would never have thought about, except that by that time I had already blown my own money. By the time those conditions came around, I was burned out and couldn't trade on that day or whatever. But I would say, well, that trade's good enough for Marta. Even though I've damaged my own account, I suddenly see where the market is, and that's good enough for her. And so I really saw myself trading two different styles, one in my own account and decimated it, and another like a professional in her account. And it was really was remarkable, because I would say, oh, how can this be the same guy? How could you have two completely different results coming from the same guy? Because I actually knew more and better than I realized. And I think that's true for everybody. But when you're trading just for yourself in your own account, you can do anything you want. You're your own boss. You can take a shot at this, throw money at that, you know, fool around. And that ends up looking a lot like my old accounts, you know, did. And everybody goes through that phase. And that's why I've said on the program before, and I just want to say it, it's probably not a bad idea at some point, if you're learning how to trade for somebody else that you care about, somebody who you really don't want to lose their money, and see if you can find a trade that you think is good enough for that account. Because you'll trade very differently in that account than you will for your own. So I think it would be fair to say that half of anybody's problem, you could line them up, and let's say I was sitting at a table and people are coming up and they say, what's my problem? I think every last one of them, I could say at least half of your problem is the fact that you treat yourself worse than you would treat. You treat your own trading a lot worse than you would treat your trading for somebody else. That's half of your problem. If you can get past that half of the problem, now we're on the other side of the mountain, and we can deal with the technical side and anything else. But I think half of everybody's problem is just how they treat their own trading accounts, which is like crap, usually. You know, they're just willing to take any shot and do anything they want and throw money around and gamble. But I found that there really is in me and in many, many other people, I think all people, there really is a sensibility. There's a common sensibility in you that may have been covered up by the wide open freedom that you have in sitting in front of your computer and putting trades on and taking them off. And that wide open freedom isn't quite as wide and as free as you think it is, because it allows you to do things that you really shouldn't do, that things that you wouldn't do if you were trading for somebody perhaps that you cared for. So that was a really big wide opening, eye-opening thing for me, because I did tremendously well in her account, 100% per year for 3 years. The last year was up about 70%. But she was living off that money, something that I had never been able to do, live off a trading account. So So I was amazed by that, and it really taught me this lesson that I've described this morning. And I've mentioned this before on the radio program, but it's a good lesson. There it is. I think 50% of anybody's problem is just the fact that you have no boss. You're just free to do whatever the heck you want, and you abuse that freedom in your trading. So think about that. You know, it's not an accusation. It's just me telling you an experience that I had that may be true for you as well. And if it is, I hope it's helpful to think about it in those terms. So,
Mark writes in, I'm unable to attend David's seminar. Is there a chance of another one down the road?
If you go to masterforecastercourse.com, we did fill up on the first seminar about a week ago, and we do have overage. And so we decided, because of the overage, to have a second seminar, which if you go to the site, it's on June 4th and June 5th. So I'm going to, that morning of that day, I'm going to get up, going to kind of roll out of bed, kind of, you know, look in the mirror, and then think to myself, okay, see, reflected what? What is that called again? And then get myself together, and I'm going to show up and blow your mind. That's what I'm going to do.
Awesome.
So we do have one on June 4th and June 5th. It'll be at the Mirage Hotel here in Las Vegas. I suppose, you know, I do want to address at least a couple of things that people may not have said. You know, it seems expensive, you know, to have to pay that kind of money to go to a seminar like this. This is something that took me many, many years to discover, and I kept it secret for the next 15 years. It's something that I've demonstrated innumerable times on this radio program, and I am 100% convinced that it will make a huge difference in anybody's trading who wants to use it. Many people will take that same money. I know this is almost a cliche at this point, but you could very easily take that same amount of money and a series of bad trades, maybe two or three or five, you could easily throw away that amount of money trying to get it right. And I'm hoping that the things that I've demonstrated with regard to forecasting on this program, detail in the types of setups that we lay out, shows you that we're not talking about just a simple, ordinary technique. We're talking about something that, although it uses an ordinary indicator, it's a very unusual way to use it, and it turned out to be a very powerful trading tool. It's something that I use every day in the market. So, and if you can't afford it right now, I wouldn't worry about it. This is not a hard sell or anything like that. This is for people who can take advantage of it now. And, you know, in the meantime, continue practicing and working on your trading. And, you know, there may be another time in the future, whatever, that it may be available to you and you can take advantage of it. So we had a good response from people. There's a lot of people that really wanted to take, you know, to put this into their trading. And I'm very excited to see how people respond to it and, you know, what they're able to do with it, including after the seminar, how they take trades off of it, etc. So we do have June 4th and June 5th if you go to masterforecastercourse.com. And
it is, a couple people asked, it's Master Forecaster. I'm just going to type it in so everybody has it. Forecaster. Master Forecaster Course. .com.
Mm-hmm.
David, is that right?
Yeah, masterforecastercourse.com.
Okay. Everybody in the room has a link now. There we go.
Okay. And then there's a picture of me in there in a little suit.
Kind
of look like Jim West?
You look good.
I mean, isn't there,
man,
just a little Jim West in
really,
there?
You really do.
I mean, I think it's.
And that's why, personally, I think that suit would fit you.
Well, there you are. That little Jim West suit, right? The suit from James West.
You're very trim. You're in good shape. You take good care of yourself. You go to the gym.
Well,
you lay by the pool.
Not lately.
You haven't been going to the gym lately?
Listen, we've been working so much on this stuff. I mean, preparing for this thing and all the details. It's been an enormous task on our end. So we're not like you, Dwayne. We don't have a plantation we can go to in wherever it is that you fly to, you know, and sit in a barn, you know, whatever it is you do in that barn. No, we're just playing with you. It's just for fun. Anyway, so I think that basically for today, that is it. I'm going to take one last look. We're trading at 139.06 on the euro. We will have a couple other trades potentially in the euro. I do want you to know that the euro March 9th is the on-time day for a bottom in the euro. And so we'll see how that plays out. This is a new market. We're not experts in that market, but we've had a lot of indications that the setup, the numbers, and all the things that we use are working correctly in that market. So it's exciting. You know, to make some money from these other markets has been very good. And I also keeping our eye on gold, because I know you guys follow that as well. And we may have a setup in that soon as well. One last question. Does anybody trade the 10-year or the 30-year notes? Does anybody have any interest in that as well? Because that's been a market I've been almost afraid to even look at, because it's got some unusual qualities to it, not the least of which is the tick value, which plays a part in our work. And if they do, I'd like, maybe we can spend some time and get some forecast on that, because that's a fast-moving market as well, pretty volatile.
Let me see if anybody responded to that.
10-year or 30-year?
Let's see. I watched the notes, yes, would love to trade them. Another response, I don't, but would be interested to learn. And another one says, I trade the 30-year bonds.
Well, there you are. Then my response is I'm going to take a look at it. It'll probably be this weekend before I can really sit down and drop into some really, you know, really stare at it for a while and see if we can put it together. But I would like to have five or six different markets that we could be looking at, so that on any one day, Dwayne, on your program, we might have one or two setups that could be really good. There's some really good money to make trading off of the daily chart. If you're willing to hold overnight positions, and you can manage your, I mean, margin-wise, you know, whether you can or not, but the margins aren't too terrible on most of these for overnight. And then manage your risk on the overnight, and you'll know if you don't already know the really, really nice feeling, the pleasure of having managed through the month, taken the positions that you should take, and managed through these trades, and see a gain on your trading statement, even if it's small, even if it's $500 or $1,000 or something. Having managed things correctly gives you a lot of encouragement. I really believe strongly in not whipping yourself and not beating yourself up, because that expresses itself in your trading. That whole thing about being mad at yourself, and I should have, and I could have, and I would have, all of that sort of poisons the lake that you are actually drinking from. You and the lake are one and the same. And if you're going to poison that lake with all that negativity, then you're drinking from that lake, and it hurts you. So I think it's a much better idea to trade less and try to have a program, something you're following, something you understand, something that you can believe in. Do your best with it. And if it doesn't work out perfect or right, which it doesn't work out perfect and right for me, then you just manage that risk and take the very next trade after that, whichever one it is that sets up. And it is really wonderful, though, at the end of the month to see that effort that you made day by day to manage risk. Sometimes they give you the freebie, like the Euro trade we had, and sometimes they make you work for it, and all that ended up with money. And you'll really get the feeling that, you know what, this is doable. I can actually do this, and it makes real money. I can actually earn some money from this. And later, it may even turn into something that you can earn a living from. But I wouldn't count on that, to be honest with you, just yet. I would count on that after you've gotten to the point where you, and maybe some of the listeners have gotten to that point, where you're able to relatively consistently make some money each month. It doesn't have to be the same amount. You know, this isn't a paycheck. This is you investing in the markets and making some money from it. But it is wonderful. I love every minute of it. I've said this before. I'm a market enthusiast. I just love the fact that they're here, that we can do these things with them. We can make attempts, you know, good high probability attempts to make some money. And it's just fabulous. I've said this before. I would do it for free. It's so much fun to to set these things up and to put them together, that, you know, I would almost do it for free. I mean, I have to get a little something because it takes time to do it, but I would, in other words, if you traded and it didn't pay anything, it would still be fun to make the calls and, you know, to see how the market plays out and all that stuff. I just get a real kick out of that. And, you know, if you're too focused on money, if you're too focused on money, that tends to burn you. And if you're too focused on the technique, that can burn you. There's kind of a nice balance in between the two, where you're focused on technique, you're also focused on the idea that you have to make the position earn you some money because you are spending time, and you are spending money on having your system in front of you, your screen and all that stuff. And I've said this before, and I want to say it again, and I'll go because I know I'm on a rant here a bit, but you have to be very careful what you read, because what you read leaves traces in your brain that makes you act incorrectly or change your trading system. And when you read about the big traders that make such and such dollars, or this guy who trades in 10,000 contracts, or whatever the nonsense is that they put out there to get you to read, that has an effect on you, even though you may think it may not. It actually, in most cases, has an effect on you, and it's usually bad. You shouldn't trade competitively. You shouldn't trade like you're from junior high school. You should trade what you understand, and to give you the pleasure of doing this. This isn't for you to go brag to a friend. This is for you to get your own pleasure out of. It's for you. It's not for them. It's for you. And if you make it for them, then you're really not focusing on trading the right way. It should be all for you, meaning that you're not looking to do this to be a showboat or a person who's, you know, a miniature Donald Trump or any of that stuff, or even, listen, even a trader, even to be a trader, even that term has grown now. You know, forget all of that stuff and just learn about the markets and participate in them with a fun, positive outlook, manage your risk, and you can go really far. You can really surprise yourself where you might end up if you do that. But, you know, sitting around and reading the books and the magazines about the people, the big guys and all that stuff, let me tell you something. A lot of the big guys you read about 10 years ago, they're not so big anymore. They've got different jobs now, because the way they trade and the way they manage risk and the way they did things was idiocy. They went along, they were wildcatting, and they got along for a while, and then they blew out their accounts. That's not good trading. Good trading is a whole different thing. We've talked about it a lot on this program. But anyway, I hope that's helpful.
And, you know, and that's a deep subject there. But a couple of just really quick, a brand new listener said, David, is your forecast applicable to all kinds of markets like ES, Dow, Forex, etc.? And I guess just the short answer there is that, you know, each market that David talks about has its own unique forecast. He doesn't do the Dow, and he really doesn't do the Forex, although he's been looking at the Euro of late. The ES is unique unto itself. The beans are, you know, like the bean forecast doesn't apply to the ES or any other market, and the ES doesn't likewise apply to something else, gold. So, and then Ray asks, the answer is no. Each market is specific. So I just gave you the short answer there, David, if you want to note that then next time it comes up.
Real quick, I was just going to say to the one guy who asked the one question, the one fellow, I'm sorry, I don't have his name, but we're expanding now. We're looking at other markets and trading and forecasting on the program here, other markets, the euro, the gold, the crude, just for fun. And we've had some nice moves in those markets and from these forecasts, and I'm going to continue to do so.
Yeah,
and
no, it looks very promising. Very, very promising.
Yeah, it really does.
So stick around, Pela. I don't know if I pronounced that correct, but do stick around, and you'll see as this develops. Now, David's been a part of the show for like 5 years, but primarily we've only talked about the ES and beans. It's only been within the last, I don't know how many months it's been, three months or so that we've stumbled over into some other markets like gold and crude and the euro. Ray asks, in your work, do you see crude getting close to a top?
I don't have any forecast. You know, a lot of times people will ask a question, and there's nothing wrong. That's a perfectly legitimate question. But I can't answer that question. I can only tell you what our forecast is for the market. If we had a forecast for a top, then I would be saying, you know, in crude, we think this top is going to happen. But I can't. Our forecasts are either out or they're not. We don't have one immediately right now for crude specifically. But we did have one earlier about a month or maybe 3 weeks ago that we had in crude for a $4 move, and we did get a $4 move out of it. And I'll let you know immediately when we have the next one for the crude market. But we don't have one right now, and I don't like to generalize. I like to be very specific. If I have a forecast, I give it. If I don't, I'd rather not look at it and go, well, you know, it looks toppy here. It could go here. It might go there. You know, that's meaningless. I really want to have something to tell you, and I don't have anything to tell you just right now about the crude. So I apologize for that, but we may in a few days. So
very good. Thank you so
and
much.
There you are. So, Dwayne, as always, a pleasure being on the program, and I'll plan on being with you tomorrow if all things technical continue to work.
I hope so.
And yes, you too. And we'll put it all together then. And then I think that's about it. I appreciate being on the show, and I appreciate the questions from the listeners, and I hope that people get some good trades out of all of us. You know, we can all put our heads together and make some good money out of the markets here.
David, thanks very much.
Okay, thanks again. I'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Talk to you soon. Have a great afternoon.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right, guys, that's going to wrap it up for today. We turned 1 hour of public radio into 1 hour and 38 minutes. Not bad. So we always try to give a little extra, you know, when we can. Watch this develop in the afternoon session. I'll leave the chart running. This is the hourly chart. We are waiting now for dynamic resistance to print. You'll see the red dot, and it'll appear on the hour, so it's not going to happen, at least for another hour. Now, where's it going to come in? Well, I don't know. We walked through all of these. I won't labor over those again. I'll just say that right here, this red line, okay, now that's David's work. David said that was the highest number that he had forecast, that PageTrader had forecast for today. He just said that on the radio, 1326. So that's why I put that red line there. Okay. Now the market does look like it wants to possibly test that, doesn't it? It does. Now if price were to come up and test this number, and you also saw dynamic resistance print, that would be pretty good, right? I think so. Now, then David went on to say that at 1320, he's potentially a buyer. At 1317, see, 1317, he said at 1317, he's really, really kind of interested in potentially being a buyer. Okay? Now, I had originally put BTST, which is inside joke between all of us, buy the silly thing. But then he said, you know, maybe not dead set on 20, you know, 13, 17, it could go there. And, okay, that's a 3-point range. Hey, if you trade with a 2-point stop, then that 3-point range is going to be of concern to you. So that's why I put, don't just buy the silly thing. Use this as a guideline, as an outline, to use whatever it is that you do use to get you into a trade. If we get back up here, testing this previous high, okay, it's already a swing high for the day. It's also the highest number that David had forecast for the day. And we have the potential to have dynamic resistance print up here. That hasn't happened yet. Okay, this red line, that's just a red line. Okay, that's not dynamic resistance. Just a line, I can move it. Yeah, see? Alright. Same here. Now, here's what will happen. Once we print dynamic resistance, red dot, then we'll be looking to print dynamic support, green dot. So let's just say, for instance, price ran up, tagged the 1326, printed dynamic resistance, came back here or here. Does that mean the market necessarily has to print dynamic support in order for these to be valid entries? take a trade back up. No, not at all. All those are just places where you it might be some additional confirmation if you're looking to trade it. So I've got to head out, but I'll leave this chart up and running, and I'm pretty sure the market will stay inside of this framework so you won't lose it. Watch this for resistance, potential buying opportunity, potential buying opportunity. And the chart will update when there's dynamic resistance, and it will update on the overnight when there is dynamic support, or sooner if that comes into play. All right, that's going to wrap it up. For those of you who are not, if you're not a CFRM partner, if you've not taken a free trial to the live trading room, you're welcome to come and spend a week with us, hang out. All you got to do is you can go to christiantraders.com, you can go to cfrn.net/apply. It's just really obvious if you go to the site where you can click and participate. And I know that some of you guys got more than one email address, and I know you've been hanging out there more than a week, you know. And eventually, I guess I'll call you on it. No, seriously, we gave away the milk for free so long, the cows got they had low self-esteem. Now I'm paying for cow counseling, okay? So, I'm just kidding. Anyway, you're welcome to come take a free trial if you haven't, you know. And eventually I'll start tracking everybody by the IP address. Now, it's not like it's some big top secret. If you want to hang out with us, that's great. If you don't, that's okay too. We're going to continue to do the public radio every day for an hour, hour and a half, hour and 43 minutes. It'll vary from day to day, but we almost always do a full hour. And so you're welcome to come and hang out with us for that hour. Every day, as often as you would like. Bring your friends, bring your family, and we'll see you back here again tomorrow. Thanks so much for tuning in. Whoever you are, wherever you are, may God continue to richly bless you with His mercy and with His grace.
Remember this, there is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Pastor Dwayne Reeves, and his guests. This information should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed security broker or financial planner before making any investment decisions. You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.